I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Kind of falling on the word tensions because you think you see the headline tensions with China. But there are tensions in a lot of places. There are tensions with forest management, in my mind. There are tensions with grizzly bear management. There are tensions with our energy future. Those things are on the plate today as we'll check in with Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale from Washington, D.C. Get that swamp level check. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for being here. Take a deep breath. Relieve that tension. Remember to keep the focus on the near horizon. Remember how we talk about that? If things are spinning, and you haven't got balance and you're getting dizzy on the far horizon, look to your near horizon. You'll have more balance there. A lot of things that you can do and help out with there. Again, it's two decades strong, working on three, from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. No further delay. Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale joins us from Washington, D.C. Congressman, how's it going?
All that scoping going on, everybody's breath should smell good, Tom.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Yeah, but they've got an online meeting tonight, so that won't matter. We know how that goes.
This is unbelievable to me that the left has called us all this. They don't like the idea that we are managing, we being the state of Montana, these populations adequately, properly. They're still growing, and they're like, oh my gosh, why are you trying to kill all the animals? And they fail to recognize that the populations are stable. They have grown. They're still growing. Okay. And they also fail to recognize the limitations that are placed on people's private property when you have habitat or they're trying to impose habitat requirements upon you as a landowner. And you get no compensation from the government on the restrictions that are placed on your land. And that's just wrong.
And that's something that you have dealt with as well. I mean, we're talking wolf management a bit later on here, but the same thing with grizzly bear. And you had a committee hearing recently. There's a lot of things that, as I said, that you've been involved in that have real impact on the country. But let's talk about our wildlife, because there are not just officials in this country that have intentions on our private property, but there are officials in other countries that have those intentions announced on private property in Montana. How do we get out from under that, Congressman?
We take strong stances, okay? This is what it requires. I said this during the 117th Congress, so I was serving in the minority and brought a lot of this legislation forward, whether it pertains to removing animals from the Endangered Species Act or fully utilizing the resources that we have here in this country. And you know, we've got a bunch of this legislation to discuss this morning.
Yeah.
But all of those bills that I introduced over the last 2 years, Tom, were never even given a hearing. Unlike Helena, where every bill that's introduced is able to get a hearing, they were never even given a hearing because I was serving the minority. And now, under the 118th Congress, that the Republicans had the majority, we're having hearings on removing grizzly bears, delisting the grizzly bear populations, not only the Yellowstone population, but the Northern Continental Divide population.
Yeah.
They both have far exceeded the target populations. I mean, we're talking about over 2,000 grizzly bears that they have identified that are roaming around the state of Montana. And I think that Carly Johnson, she was the representative from Montana. She has a ranch up near Shoto, and she came in to testify. She was my witness, and she says, you know, I've got grizzly bears running across my yard with their cubs. And that mama bear doesn't want to have problems with her cubs, and I don't want to have problems with my babies. And we've got to figure this thing out so that we don't have her babies and my babies running around the same place together.
Yeah, yeah, that was a really human testimony there. Do you think it sunk in? Were there people from back east who have no concept, in my mind, of what our lives are like here? Or do they care, I think? But is any of that sinking in?
I think that some of it sank in, but the problem is that they don't understand the restrictions that are placed on people's way of life, the restrictions that are placed on their property when you have an animal that has been listed under the Endangered Species Act and given all these protections by the federal government. Look, I've got the same thing going on over here in eastern Montana with the pallid sturgeon. While we don't have to worry about a pallid sturgeon running across the lawn and attacking your livestock, what it does is dramatically limits what you can do with your irrigation water and what you're going to draw out of the river. And then so the Corps of Engineers stepped in, and in order not to do us a favor, but in order to mitigate their obligations on the Missouri River, they thought and discovered that it was cheaper to build a bypass channel on the Yellowstone River. And so when we had the ribbon cutting, Tom, I was down there, and there were already deficiencies. There was already erosion taking place. It was not even a year old, okay, the construction that they had performed. And where everyone else was standing around at the ribbon cutting, slapping each other on the back and giving self-congratulatory statements, I said, you know, we've learned two things during this project. Number one, it is very difficult to tame the Yellowstone River. Look at the erosion. Here we are on the ribbon cutting, and you've already got damages that you have to go back and repair, because the Corps of Engineers, with all their great engineers, wasn't able to design a system for a bypass channel that was going to withstand the spring and winter of the Yellowstone River. And the other thing we discovered is that if the people across this country want to identify an animal or a plant is deserving of protections to make sure that it doesn't go extinct, we understand that, but the people across the whole country have to pay for it, not just a handful of farmers and ranchers in Montana. And so that's the kind of stuff that I've been fighting for.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. That whole Endangered Species Act has been manipulated to the detriment of both humans and the species, but to the benefit.
It has. When you look at the forest management, Tom, yeah. And we have been pushing, and I've got several pieces of legislation to address that as well, so we have better forest management. The Forest Management Reform Act, okay, to make sure that we have that fix, right?
The cottonwood,
or
yep.
The cottonwood, exactly. So all of these things, if we do not put proper management in place for our forests, then we see the wildfires. We see the destruction of tens of thousands of acres. And guess what? That's destroying habitat for a decade before you get vegetative cover coming back again. So they ignore real science. They always are proclaiming that they're supporting science, but they ignore real science when it comes to the management of a lot of these things, whether it's water or whether it's the forest, right down the line.
Keep trying to knock that door down, too, because there's very little will in Washington, I think, to make a change in the Endangered Species Act. But hopefully we can find more tools in our state toolboxes to do that. But I appreciate you keep knocking on that door, because we have to do that, too. It's just turned upside Absolutely. Down, but that's not the only thing that's been turned upside down. Congressman Matt Rosendale is with us, been serving the people of Montana for over 10 years, serves on the Veterans Affairs Committee. In fact, chairs a subcommittee on technology, modernization, and also subcommittee on oversight investigations. He serves on a similar committee there, too, on natural resources. Appreciate you being here. Let's go to the energy. HR1, I'll just let you take it from there. Got that piece at least partially through.
We have. We've brought it through the House now. Everyone recognizes that our domestic energy production has been reduced intentionally by the Biden administration. Mm-hmm. We're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of about 2 million barrels a day. When you take that out of the equation, then clearly crude oil is based on the global consumption and the global production. And when you take that amount out of the production, it causes prices to go up. Go figure. Supply and demand actually is a real thing. And so we've been working for the last 2 years to try and get some things in place. My specific legislation was to mandate that these sale leases, so the leasing of the land and the mineral rights on the eligible federal properties, that the Biden administration or any other administration had to conduct them. And if they're supposed to have one each quarter. And if they miss one, that they would have to initiate that lease as soon thereafter as they possibly could. And no executive order by the president could either slow down or stop these sales from taking place. But that's just one component. H.R. 1, by making it the first piece of legislation to come forward, demonstrates that the Republican Congress believes it is the most important. It is for our national security. It is for our economy. And, yes, it will help dramatically reduce the rate of inflation because energy touches so many aspects of our lives. So as part of this package of bills, Tom, what we also included was some clarification, if you will, in the NEPA process so that we can get permitting faster for our pipelines. For the facilities that we're trying to construct right now to export all of this wonderful natural gas that we have here in our country to our friends over in Europe so that they're not dependent upon Russian energy. And then it would also help clarify NEPA so that we could mine some of these critical minerals that we have here in our country, because it is dangerous for us to continue to be so reliant upon China and or China-controlled minerals. And so the whole package really came through the House. We did it's bipartisan. There was a couple of Democrats that voted for it, but it's going to go over to the Senate, and we're going to have to, you know, see what's going on over there.
Yep.
The Senate still needs some help.
there's an opportunity perhaps to help that Senate down the road, but we'll talk about that down the road.
I've got a couple of ideas.
Critical minerals. I'm so glad you're working on this, because if there's anything that's real obvious or ought to be to even people who don't want to believe, it's the fact that we do not have enough, probably even on the planet, critical minerals to meet our goals when it comes to net zero attainability. How do we reconcile? I'm glad we're pushing to maybe there are minerals out there. I've looked at a lot of research on this too, Congressman. I really don't know that there is, but what's your sense? Will we move forward? Go ahead.
Here's the problem with critical minerals. China, okay, they want to be the world's power, both economically and militarily. They want to be in charge, and they have strategically gone around the world, and they have been able to secure critical minerals all over the place, okay? Not only have they secured the critical minerals, they've got 60% of the top 10 minerals that we use in our daily lives. They've got control over them. The other thing that they have control over is the refining.
Yeah.
So right now, unfortunately, even the minerals that we produce here in the United States, the vast majority of it is shipped to China for refining, processing. We are acting like a daggone colony. We literally are taking raw materials, we're shipping them overseas, they're refining it, they're making another product out of it, and then we buy it back. That is absolutely insane.
We're going to talk more about that as we come on back. I'm sorry, Congressman, got a breakup coming here. There's more to talk here, too, and as you mentioned, the tensions with China have also expanded. We'll talk as we continue our discussion here with Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale today on Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We're back with Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale. As I mentioned, Veterans Affairs Committee, Committee on Natural Resources, Freedom, Western, and Border Security Caucuses, along with this year, the Republican Study Caucus, which is interesting. And you can get into that and probably just learn a ton and get a real feel about how our country feels. Matt, any comments on the Republican Study Caucus membership?
Yeah, the Republican Study Committee, they are right now working on one of the biggest challenges we have, and that is to rein in this spending. They're gonna propose their budget, which will be separate from whatever anyone else does. There's about 140 members in there right now. Kevin Hearn is the current chairman. You may have heard me mention his name before, as a matter of fact. Kevin Hearn. He's from Oklahoma. He's doing an outstanding job, and I have a meeting scheduled with him for next week. Tom, right now, we are spending too much money.
Yeah.
Everybody says we don't collect enough. No. We are spending far too much money. If we go back pre-COVID, 2019, our spending was at $5.14 trillion a year. That's a lot of money. Problem is, we were only collecting at the federal level $4 trillion a year. So even at that time, we were running a $1.14 trillion a year deficit. So we're adding that to, this national debt. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was passed. The Democrats screamed blue bloody murder that it was going to drop the revenue. Revenue has now climbed to $4.9 trillion. So it has, in fact, climbed. Problem is, the president sends out a budget at $6.9 trillion, a $2 trillion deficit. And so he puts all these increases in taxes and cuts on Medicare and Social Security, the very things that he says he's trying to protect. And we have taken, being Republicans, off of the table, and he is gutting out different portions of these programs. So we have sat down and said, okay, we've got to deal with that. That's the budget. That's the appropriations bills. That'll be taking place in September. But we still have the debt ceiling. And the debt ceiling is merely the line of credit that the United States has available to them, right? And right now, we are just about at the debt ceiling. The last time they increased it with full authority was about $2 trillion. 399 days was all it took them to burn through that line of credit. We can't sustain that. So right now, Janet Yellen is looking at the revenue that's coming in and looking at the bills that are due, and she's juggling it around, okay, to keep us from hitting the top of the debt ceiling, keeping the bills paid. And they want to increase it. So there's basically two groups in Congress right now. You've got the group that wants to increase the debt ceiling by about $2 trillion and extend it out to beyond the presidential election in 2024. So nobody has to deal with it any longer. And then you've got the rest of us that say, we can't sustain that. That's going to put us at $33.5 trillion national debt. We're just not going to do that, especially while we have all of this additional revenue that is available to us. We were able to pass the resolution. It's going over to the president to say the COVID emergency spending, the COVID emergency powers are gone. They're over. And there is somewhere between $90 and $100 billion available in unspent COVID money. There's $400 billion-plus dollars available in the student loan redistribution. It's not a forgiveness. It's a redistribution program. So So now all of a sudden we're up to 500. We have identified somewhere close to about $900 billion of additional funding that is available that if we claw it back, Tom, and we put it back into the Treasury, we don't have to increase the debt ceiling for right about a year's time. That gives us the ability to develop the 12 appropriation bills, attach the H.R. 1, okay, increase our domestic energy production. It gives us the ability to attach H.R. 29, which is the Secure Our Southern Border Act that was proposed and introduced by Congressman Chip Roy out of Texas. We can attach those things to the appropriations bills, eliminate some of this woke spending that they have scattered throughout the government, and then reevaluate where we are as far as the debt ceiling after the first of the year.
Is there any bipartisan support for that?
We're having a tough time getting partisan support for it.
Really?
There's a lot of people that are just afraid to stand up and say, we cannot continue to do this. Mm. And if you continue to go along, to get along, it's going to be the ruin of our country, Tom, and I'm not going to do it. I will stand up and say the emperor's not wearing clothes. And guess what? He's not. And the fat is showing everywhere. We have got to stop this out-of-control spending. And it's not just how much spending that's taking place. It's the areas where we are spending it. We are wasting money on Green New Deal programs, trying to force the American people to drive electric cars and heat their homes differently. And it's very, very expensive. Everyone knows their heating bill went up this year because they are trying to force us to do different things. They have integrated gender sensitivity training into our U.S. military. Well, I want to tell you something. The United States military is no place to be experimenting with gender identity studies and green energy studies. I want the most effective fighting force on earth to be there in our U.S. military so that our adversaries fear us. That's what I want. And anything that is not an investment towards that goal is a distraction. And so we've got a lot of things that we need to be reining in. And if we don't stand up and take very vocal stances against it, it's going to continue to erode our way of life.
Yeah, I mean, this is critical, especially our monetary policy. And we, as a country, Congressman, we have done in the past. We have reined in. We have reined in big business. We have reined in big labor. We have reined in various different things out there. And so a reining in is not out of the question here when it comes to some of these policies, especially our monetary policy. I want to ask you before we go ahead. I'm sorry.
Before we get off, I was speaking of monetary. It's not monetary policy, but it's another piece of legislation that I introduced during the 117th that I have reintroduced, and it does have bipartisan support. And it's about the monetary enrichment of members of Congress. And it's very important to me that we recognize that members of Congress should not be purchasing individual stocks. If they put their money in a 401k for some kind of a retirement or, you know, some kind of a mutual fund that they don't have control over, that's fine. But to be purchasing individual stocks is much worse than insider trading by a member of Congress because they literally have the ability to manipulate the value of a industry or of a specific stock by the regulatory and tax burdens that they place upon or relieve upon an industry. And so the Stock Act, I have reintroduced it. We've got a lot of support for it, and I think that we should be able to get that passed through this Congress.
All right. Well, thank you for that. We're going to keep an eye on that, too. We've got less than 2 minutes. Tensions with China. I know it's been front and center with Speaker McCarthy meeting with the Taiwanese leadership. What's the scuttlebutt? What's the discussion out there? Or do you feel that we have enough chutzpah to stand up to both China and Russia?
I think that you're talking about two separate things.
Yeah.
And everybody knows where I stand on Ukraine. I think we need to secure our southern border. The Chinese want, again, to be the world's power, and I am concerned. That's why I raised so much hell when the Chinese spy balloon was identified to be coming over our country, and there was too much silence from Senator John Tester at the time, that they were not causing any problems. And I said, how in the world can you sit there and not recognize that they are spying on us when they have a spy balloon that has the ability to hover and manipulate itself around Malmstrom Air Force Base and our ICBM missile field for 36 hours before it begins then going back across the country? This is a problem. I think we need to address it head on, and I think that we need to make sure that Taiwan has the reinforcements that it needs to let China know that they are not going to stand by and allow them to invade. It's all the little things that you do years in advance,
yes,
to keep China in check. The same thing, yep, as we did not do, unfortunately, with Russia. We did the complete opposite.
Congressman,
Biden took office.
Thank you so much for your time and your service. I hope you're well, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you again, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.